talking about hair before, and I found that at 83, my hair is growing in. And they say that if it hits gray matter, it grows back out. So far, that hasn't happened. So, when we were still going to the Catholic Church, my son was about 6 years old, and we were walking out one day, and the priest was standing by the door, and he said to my son, he said, "How do you like church?" And my son said, "Yeah," he said, "it was really nice." He said, "The church was nice, and I really liked the music, but," he said, "your commercial was way too long." So Dick down here is kind of watching my commercial, and he'll keep us in good stead here. We're going to... I went to a small school in Pennsylvania and went on to 17 years of education, and nobody ever talked about our Native Americans. I worked in probation and parole, saw a lot of different behaviors, didn't have any Native Americans in that area, and was dating my wife at the time. Ended up taking a job. J. Edgar Hoover was the director of the FBI. I applied and got a job with them. Went to Quantico, had training down there, got married. As I was leaving Quantico, we were assigned to Chicago. I was put on a fugitive squad, and it was a very short time when I was ordered out to a place called Wounded Knee in South Dakota. And it was termed the Second Battle of Wounded Knee. The first battle was a very, very sad battle in 1890. The Native Americans were trying to get to Pine Ridge on the reservation because there was a chief there they felt could negotiate with the whites and protect them. On the way, they were bedded down in Wounded Knee Creek, and sadly, during their U.S. government surrounded them, tried to take all their rifles, which they depended on for food, and a shot went off. And in the response, about 500 soldiers fired on about 300 Native Americans, men, women, and children, and basically slaughtered them. The bodies were eventually put in a mass grave behind the Catholic Church in Wounded Knee. We were sent out there because the American Indian movement came in and took over the village of Wounded Knee, including the people who lived there. And I still remember going into the command post the night this took place, and the phone was ringing. I picked it up, and there was a woman on the phone, just hysterical, telling me that a bunch of Native Americans had come into the village, and then the phone went dead. It turned out her line had been cut. We ended up negotiating with Russell Means and Dennis Banks, two of the AIM leaders, for 71 days. And finally negotiated a peace settlement. The opportunity I had to get an education, a very sad education, on the reservation was really my first exposure to what happened to our Native Americans. And I kind of wish I had that slideshow going, because I have some pictures of the reservation and the lands that were just deplorable. When you're driving across this country, you can almost tell when you're going onto a reservation just by looking at the land and how poor it is, the places we've put them. I'm going to be talking about our daughter in a few minutes, and She grew up on the Rosebud Indian Reservation, which borders the Pine Ridge Reservation, and conditions on both reservations are very, very similar. So some of the statistics I'm going to give you apply to both the Rosebud and the Pine Ridge. Let me see if I can get this started. Our journey went from, I grew up in Pennsylvania, got sent to Chicago, out to Wounded Knee, back to Chicago, transferred to New York City, and then up to Albany, retired out of Albany back in 1999, a long time ago. An interesting fact, the soldiers who served at that first Battle of Wounded Knee in 1890 were presented 19 Medals of Honor. And they held that until Obama came in and rescinded them because of the details of their actions. Just recently, a guy named Pete Hegsmith, who some of you may recognize, reinstated these medals of honor for slaughtering the 300 Indians. Between 1778 and 1871, less than 100 years, the U.S. government signed and ratified an estimated 371 treaties with Indian tribes. Eventually, almost all of them were broken or abrogated in one way or another. 371 treaties. You know, Dick, what I'd like to do is just take a minute or two and see if we can fool around with that, because it would be so much better for folks here if we can get that playing.
I have no idea what to do.
Yeah. Dick, you can go through maybe three of them. Okay, can everybody hear me? These are some of the folks that I had chance to get to meet while I was out for the several weeks I worked out there. And we got close enough that they started sharing some of the things that are their reality. And it was hard to keep tears out of your eyes as you listened to them. Okay. They came with the Bible and their religion, stole our land, crushed our spirit, and now tell us we should be thankful to the Lord for being saved. That's quite a statement. Next one. Indigenous people predated Columbus in the New World by 23,000 years. There was a funny cartoon I saw where you had two Native Americans standing on the shore as the Nina, the Pinto, and the Santa Maria came across, approaching the shore. And the one chief said to the other chief, he said, "Ah, leave them in. How bad can it be?" Only when the last tree has died, the last river has been poisoned, and the last fish been caught, will we realize we cannot eat money. The Rosebud, my wife and I were out in Rapid City, and we decided we'd go down, maybe contact, there's still Night Pipe family down on the Rosebud. And the rangers out there said, you don't want to go down there. He said, if you're not with somebody from the reservation, you don't want to go on to there. There's a lot of problems down there now. You can see the bullet holes there. Median income on the Pine Ridge is approximately $2,600 to $3,500 per year. Now think a little bit about your life and living on that amount of money per year. Unemployment rate on Pine Ridge is approximately 83 to 85%, can be higher during the winter months. There's nowhere to work out there. When I was on the Pine Ridge, the only place I saw out there where you could get a job was a moccasin factory that employed about 100 people. It just doesn't do it. This is what you see in the housing, and oftentimes you have 20, 25 people living in one of these buildings. They're really terrible shape. Okay. Life expectancy, 48 years for men, 52 for women, far from the 77 years of age life found in the United States as a whole. The Lakota have the lowest lifespan of anybody in the United States. Teenage suicide rate in the Pine Ridge, 150% higher. Infant mortality rate, 300% higher. More than half the reservation's adults battle addiction and disease, alcoholism, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, and malnutrition. Okay. Our daughter's journey. I went back to Chicago. We went to New Jersey. We had a son who was 1 year old. When we decided we'd like to expand our family through adoption, we had an agency very near us to place what they call back then hard to place children. We had to go for some training, and one day they called and they said, can you help with just an emergency placement for a short period of time? And on St. Patrick's Day, a knock on the door, and this little Native American girl who was just turning 13, carrying a little suitcase with her whole estate in it, entered our house, our home, and was introduced by a caseworker. We put her in an upstairs bedroom, and over the next couple of months sat with her and heard her story. And we made a decision that her journey was going to end at our house. Our house was going to be, at age 13, the 13th house she lived in. She came off the reservation. Her mother had five children. Her mom put our daughter with her grandmother in a little town called Oak Creek, which is a very isolated part of the reservation. My grandma was very alcoholic, our daughter at age one got tuberculosis, which is very common. They put her in an Indian hospital in Rapid City for a year. There was no contact with family. They were 100 miles away. Even if they wanted to get there, there was no way to do that. She got back to the reservation. She was there about 6 months when Mom took her for a ride. Mom was drunk, hit a tree. Our daughter went through the windshield and lost most of her vision. Another 6 months in a hospital in Minneapolis. Again, no contact with family. So out of the first 3 years of her life, a year and a half of it was spent in hospitals. At age four, she fell in an outdoor toilet because nobody was watching her. At age four, they were having a party. The Native Americans got paid if they had a job on Friday at noontime. And they didn't go back to work. They'd go to one of the houses and have a party, and oftentimes it was at our daughter's house. She would hide under a bed, and one night she decided that there's got to be a better place. She walked out of the house into the desert at night at age four looking for a better place. A white couple coming across the reservation saw her, called the police, and that got her eventually into foster care. I talked to the mother of her first foster home, who said that they showed her her bedroom for the night and went up later to check on her, and she was sleeping on the floor. They said, "Linda, you know, the bed is here for you to sleep in." She didn't know. She had never slept in a bed. So she, at age five, got into foster care and just bounced from one to another. Sexual abuse, physical abuse. For some reason, the state of South Dakota puts children, Native American children, in white foster homes, even though there are Native American foster homes on the reservation. And it had something to do with finances and money being sent out to support these kids. I've never been able to get a good answer from social services in South Dakota about their policies out there. So, okay. I was doing a bicycle ride across the country and had a chance to visit the South Dakota School for the Blind, where our daughter spent her first 5 years. They were very nice, and they went back in the back room and were able to pull my daughter's file, and it had a little picture, as we all get, of, you know, first grade, second grade, which we took home. Our daughter had a little bit of what was called tunnel vision, so if she was looking at you folks, she'd be looking this way, and it comes out the side. I think she could see some of the pictures and was excited about that. Next. The school dropout rate, 70%. Pine Ridge Reservation, bottom 10% of school funding by U.S. Department of Education. Teacher turnover, 800%, that of the U.S. national average. Diabetes on is 800% higher than the U.S. national average. 50% of adults on the reservation over age 40 have diabetes. Our daughter had it really bad. Blindness, amputations, kidney failure, all common. Yep. Tuberculosis rate, approximately 800% higher. Cervical cancer, 500% higher. Our daughter, as I mentioned, got it during her first year. ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, which can impact anybody, not just Native Americans, is a combination. And when I look at our daughter and look back at her life, it just goes on. She had pretty much all of that, physical abuse, emotional, loss of parent, domestic violence. You know, it was just there. And that can impact all of us for the rest of our lives if we don't get treatment and understand the implications of that. The other condition that's pretty serious is ACOAs, adult children of alcoholics. And Linda certainly was that. And again, without treatment, that can affect you for the rest of your life, big time. There's very little health care. I was working one day with another guy, and he was shot in the arm, and an artery was cut, and we got him up to the Indian Hospital. And as soon as the doctor took a look at him, he said, "We got to get a helicopter in and get him to a full-blown hospital, or he's going to die." You know, it's just crazy, but in the wintertime, it's almost impossible. They have to drive 100 miles to get to a facility. It just doesn't work. We're going to leave that one go. Find a heart that will love you at your worst and arms that will hold you at your weakest. You know my name, not my story. You've heard what I've done, not what I've been through. This was her middle child. Linda had five pregnancies between the ages of 18 and 23. She just wanted to be loved. And a guy would tell her, "Get in bed with me and I'll love you." And she didn't understand. You know, so it went on and on. This was the day we adopted her. We really didn't know the day we went into court to see the judge if she was going to say yes or no when he asked that question, "Do you want to live with this family?" We were thrilled that she said yes, but she had, by that, the short time she had been with us, she had two suicide attempts, had taken, had two runaways, We were young, we thought we could fix this person, and boy, did we learn a lesson. Go ahead. This is our son, who was one when Linda came with us. And I think one of the real helpful things for Linda was that we gave him and her open ability to kind of get together, and she was able to help us with him, and that was a big thing. One of the things happened in New Jersey that complicated everything was we had a neighbor behind our house who had two foster children, and we got to know them. And on a Friday, they called and they said, "We don't know what to do. I'm being transferred out of state. The kids aren't free to leave New Jersey." And I called the Children's Bureau, and nobody's responding. So Friday night, I went over. I took the two kids in their suitcases. I brought them to our house, called the Children's Bureau, and it took a month for them to come to our house to talk to us about these foster children. They were with us for a year, Stella and Kevin, 7 years old. We put Stella in with Linda in her bedroom, and Kevin in with our son Brian in his little bedroom. And they were there for a year. I got transferred to Albany. We got in touch with the judge, said we'd adopt the kids, and instead he put Stella back with her mother and Kevin back with his father. So it goes. We finally got Linda into Perkins School for the Blind, which is over in Boston. It got its reputation, a part of it, because Helen Keller went there. And it was good for Linda. Unfortunately, next slide, she came home pregnant, and Melissa was, of the three live births she had, Melissa was the middle child, and that was an open adoption, a fantastic family down in Albany, and they raised Melissa. They gave us and Linda permission, if she wasn't drinking, to visit with Melissa. Melissa went on to St. Rose, got a master's degree, taught school, and now has two, for us would be by adoption, two great-great-grandchildren. Okay. And if we can, just can you hit that and see this? I just like this thing, and it addresses for our daughter. Okay, can you read that? I'm just going to leave that go through. It'll just take a minute. I hope everybody got something out of this. It's funny, our son, he was a little bit older, and one day he was standing in the back of the church, and the priest came by, and there was a bulletin board with photographs of men on there. And the priest said to my son, he said, "These are men who died in the service." My son asked, he said, "Was that the 8:30 or the 10:30? So...